Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tejas Networks Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Sagar. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining on Tejas Networks Limited second quarter FY25 results conference call. We have Tejas Networks management on call, represented by Mr. Anand Athreya, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, Mr. Arnob Roy, Chief Operating Officer and Full-Time Director, Mr. Sumit Dhingra, Chief Financial Officer, Dr. Kumar N. Sivarajan, Chief Technology Officer. I would like to invite Mr. Arnob to initiate the call with his opening remark, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
So, everyone, welcome to our quarterly investor call. I hope you have received the slides that we have uploaded. So, I'll take a few minutes to go through them before our Q&A session. So, I'm on the first chart. So, our quarterly revenues has been the highest ever in the history of the company, 2,811 crores, with a profit after tax of 275 crores. And an order book at the end of Q2 is 4,845 crores. So some of the significant things that have happened during the quarter for our wireless business, we have significantly ramped up our 4G, 5G RAN shipments within our network. This quarter, we did more than 30,000 sites, and cumulatively, we have shipped more than 58,000 sites to the BSNL network. I think there has been a tremendous improvement in terms of scaling up our manufacturing capacity. We also received additional orders for densification of the installed 4G sites in a few circles. And by that, what I mean is that to increase the coverage of BSNL, many of the existing sites, the single band sites have been upgraded to a dual band with the addition of band 28. And with that, with the existing deployment, BSNL will get a lot more additional coverage with the installation of this additional band. From a wireless business, we have been selected for PTM and WDM equipment from one of the tier 1 telcos in India for the capacity expansion for the 4G, 5G mobile network. We have seen continuing success in the critical infrastructure segment in India, and we have been selected by a leading state power utility company for their captive SCADA network, and also been selected in one of the smart city projects in the country. In the international market, we are seeing good traction for our GPON and WDM products, and we've had a few new customer wins in the Americas and in Africa. And we received our initial order for the network modernization win in the US, which we had reported last quarter. We've seen the initial orders coming. This will be supplying this quarter, and we hope to follow this up with additional US. From a corporate point of view, we've completed the merger with Sankhya Labs in this quarter. So now I'll hand it over to Sumit, our CFO, for walking us through the financial numbers.
Good evening, everyone. For the quarter, we did revenues of 2,655 crores. This is 1.8x of the previous quarter and about 6.7x of the year before. After considering the other operating revenue, which is predominantly PLI incentive, the revenue was 2,800 crores. Against this, we did an EBIT of 459 crores, profit after tax of 275 crores, compared to 77 crores of profit in the previous quarter. Move to the next slide where we talk about the financial indicators. Our inventory at the end of the quarter was 3,411 crores, which has come up slightly compared to the previous quarter. And expected to further come down as we convert this into finished goods. Then receivables stand at about 3758 crores. The increase is predominantly stemming from higher shipments that happened in this quarter. We also collected about 1400 crores during the period. Working capital is gone up by about 100 crores, and the borrowing position at the end of the quarter was 2768 crores with a cash of about 583 crores. This I'll just hand it over back to Arun.
Thanks, Sumit. So, a little bit more color of our quarter performance and the business outlook. So, in terms of the revenue that we did, of course, the largest segment has been India private, 93% of that. And as we had mentioned earlier, the BSNL shipments since close to PCS, the private operator, private company, we categorize this as India, you know, private revenue. So revenue is still dominated by our shipments for BSNL. The India government business declined about 4% of our revenues and declined year over year by 5%. And that was mainly because we were at the tail end of few of the contracts. And as we know that most of the government contracts go, as far as tenders are concerned, these are not run rate business. So as they go in the, you know, at the initial period, there is a increase and then there is a tail end and then there is the next project which happens. So international, there was also a decline. Because of the timing of the POs and the shipments. And however, the key shipments, this was for 3% of our overall revenues, and the key shipments that happened international were to Africa and South Asia. We had a closing backlog of 1,800 crores, most of it in India, the 4,600 of that in India, and 200 plus in international. From a business outlook point of view, some of the key opportunities, the large opportunities that we are targeting is one part of it is the expansion of BSNL's 4G network for the saturation 5 and also for the 5G upgrade for which you know, trials are ongoing right now and we hope to converge this at some point of time. The Indian Railways tender on the collision avoidance system, where we have completed our POC successfully and we are waiting for the tender to come out and get and bidding to happen. Third large one is a private 5G application for a large enterprise, yeah, where again we are in ongoing trials right now. Okay. From a wireline point of view, the big opportunities for us is BharatNet Phase 2, where we have been, where we have bid into the tender with multiple partners. I think majority of the partners have bid our equipment into the tender. The other part is the expansion of WDM backbone network in the utility segment. Most of our utility customers for their telecom business, they are seeing significant business growth in their networks and traffic growth. So all of them plan for major expansion in their networks. And thirdly, for the international operators, we see major opportunities in you know, FTTH or GPON, and also network modernization deals with multiple operators in both India as well as America. So I also wanted to add that, you know, I mentioned a few of the large deals that we have been targeting, but at the same time, there are many other smaller deals that are we are working on, and especially there are many other opportunities in wireless that we are targeting, you know, with initial POCs or design proposals and stuff like that, and I can say that we are finally starting to see a lot more engagement with our wireless products, both in India as well as the international markets. From a long-term, from a business outlook point of view, we still see outlook being very positive in all the factors that we had mentioned earlier, which are driving growth of networks, growth of traffic in the networks, and which lead to traction for our business. All of them continue to have be positive and continue to show growth, whether it's in enterprise digital transformation, whether in AI data centers, and the deployment of long runway of 4G and 5G deployments, not only in India but globally, and you know, the backhaul networks for those as well, and the investments in broadband connectivity that continues at a quite a fast pace across the world. Then digitalization of cities, you know, the smart cities, safe cities, and applications like that, and the modernization of utility networks, and modernization of not only utility networks but also international VC of old TDM-based network infrastructure, you know, large infrastructure has been deployed, modernization of those networks also. So all of the applications that we target with our RAN, 4G/5G RAN and backhaul products, with our multi-terabit packet and packet transport switching and optical products, and our FTTH GPON HDS1 products, there is a, we see a lot of traction for most of the applications that are driving this network traffic growth across the world. So with that, I'll stop over here and we can take some questions. We can do a Q&A session right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aman Soni from Invest Analytics Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congrats for a good set of numbers. Just one question on the kind of execution that happened in this quarter. It is quite significant, right? So my question is, do you see like this kind of execution is going to sustain in the upcoming quarters for next, say, 3 to 4 quarters, sir?
Execution in terms of our RAN shipments, 4G/5G shipments to this?
Execution in terms of top line and bottom line kind of margins you reported in this quarter.
Well, as you know, we don't give revenue guidance, you know, quarterly guidance kind of thing. But I think people are fairly knowledgeable and I think understand our business quite well as our business pipeline order book. So without, you know, we really don't give any business guidance about stuff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sohan Joshi from ASC Consultants. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Sohan, you are audible.
Congratulations for a great set of numbers. My first question is, in the previous con call, you said that BSNL is going to come up with a nationwide tender for 5G in high-speed performance back of 3.5 gigahertz band. Can you please share any update whether any proof of concept is going on with regards to this?
Yeah, yes, there are. So for not for the 3.5 gigahertz band yet, but for the 5G upgrades, the POCs that we are doing right now is for the 5G upgrades to the in the 4G band that we have shipped.
Okay, so that is for the 40% sites under 2100 megahertz, right? Basically, the proof of concept which is going on currently.
Yeah, not only that, but it's also in the other bands as well.
Okay, so the tender is out? Or, I mean, when the tender will be floated, this part of the project?
No, no, this 5G upgrade is part of the current tender that we are executing right now.
Okay. Got it.
Not for the 3.5 gigahertz band, which is going to come later.
Okay, got it. My second question is, this CG Power have acquired radio frequency components from Renesence Electronics. So can you please explain what will be the implications of this on our partnership with Renesence for designing and development of semiconductor solutions for 4G, 5G RAN?
See, we are users of those semiconductor components. You know, we are not designers of those of the semiconductor components which goes into 4G, 5G RAN. So I think whatever partnership that you're talking about is, you know, going to be, you know, supplies for the radios which are being designed for 4G, 5G. And so that's what the implication is. I mean, it's not that we are not in that business of semiconductor chips or for radios.
So is it fair to assume that going ahead, since we have already done localization of most of the components, going ahead there won't be any major imports from our side, and since majority will be components will be localized?
No, I think see, many of the key semiconductor components are still imported because they come from tier one semiconductor vendors across the world, and a lot of it is in the US. But there are other components of the radio. A lot of it is actually localized, and for those parts, we will source from India. But I think the key semiconductors are still imported components.
One last question.
Which are not yet manufactured in India. I think at the time, I mean, you hear a lot of noise of semiconductor fabs coming up and all this kind of thing. I think when they become real and when the production starts over there and relevant chips that we use for our wireless and wireline products, when they start getting manufactured in India, I mean, of course, we will definitely source for them. But that's still going to take some time.
Okay, one last question. Now, since a lot of talks are going on with regards to satellite communication, and BSNL have also started testing direct-to-device solutions, are we in talks with BSNL or any other Tata Group companies or any other internet service provider for satellite communication devices of Sankhya?
We are talking to a few potential customers, but again, these are long lead times. These things don't happen overnight. So we are talking to a few of the other providers and see, you know, where we can take the satellite communication product, the vehicle tracking system that we have, you know, built, and see if we can use it for other applications.
So proof of concepts are going on with regards to digital devices, right?
So the vehicle tracking system is deployed. I mean, you know, it is actually not proof of concept, it's actually shipped.
Okay, got it. Thank you. All the best for the upcoming quarters.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Advait Lath from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so congrats on a great set of numbers. Am I audible? Yeah, so just wanted to ask, how has our international order pipeline grown or declined year on year, or what is the color there in terms of what you think and how it has shaped up?
Yeah, I think this quarter has been a bit soft from our international business, especially from many of our run-rate customers, but they also come in cycles. But importantly, I think we've been able to win a few more logos, few more new customers with our strategic wins in international territory. So we'll be looking at that as you know, as a very positive sign as we expand our footprint across many more customer base. So that's how it went during the quarter.
Right, sir. And actually two components. Coverage, sir. Coverage is a big opportunity. So do you think we are well placed in it because of the wireless aspect of it?
Yeah, so as of now, given that we've had very successful POC, I think we are well placed over there. If our products do meet the requirements that the customers want.
Got it, sir. And just last question from my side. The 5G upgradation, you said it's already baked in into the current tender. What about the incremental 5G deployment that would have to be tendered again, and that timeline is not clear, right?
Yeah. So that timeline is not clear. I mean, we are expecting it to happen, you know, later in the later quarters. But right now, the first part of it is the 5G upgrade in the current networks in the existing bands. And that's the current tender, and we don't yet have the PO, so we're doing the POC right now.
So that would be implemented in FY25 itself, or that will take a long, bit longer?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be executed in all of it in FY25. I mean, we think that when the it will take some time for the POC to get completed and you know, orders to come and the execution to happen. So I think it will be a few quarters.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my questions. I have a couple of them. First, on this Kavach project, are we involved into the equipment for anti-collision or the 4G or LTE deployment on 700, which is the same band we are putting for BSNL for the railway as well? What is the part within the Kavach are we playing the role?
Yeah, it's only the wireless communication network.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. That's very clear. Second, on the closing backlog, which stands at close to 71 billion rupees, can you just help us in breaking what is the BSNL's component within this 71 billion and how has non-BSNL component has grown QOQ and YOY?
Yeah, we actually don't disclose customer-wise or any other segment-wise like that. So I think we just the closing backlog is actually 4,845 crores. You may have seen the presentation. So we only split it between India and international, and don't disclose it customer-wise, project-wise.
Got it. That's not a problem. And on the last question, how has been the performance of the network? Because we have been on now probably at a risk of deployment. How has been the performance of the network which has been rolled out on our network? Has it been same as what was proven during POC?
The performance actually has been, you know, pretty good. So, I mean, as we said, in the, you know, we've shipped close to 50,000 sites to the site. And a lot of it is actually being installed and commissioned. And also, I think you must have seen on the press that, you know, there are a lot of, BSNL is getting lots, a lot more customer traction. A lot of folks are coming back. So far, so good. I mean, the radios have been performing, you know, very well. We are closely monitoring, you know, so again, we've been shipping now for more than a year. So far, so good, and we'll continue to monitor.
Got it. Just one last question. Are we anyway also looking into getting into the maintenance or O&M part of the network, or we will restrict ourselves to the supplying equipment?
No, I think maintenance is and support is part of the tender, and you know, there is I think after 3 years we have the support agreement which is there, and that will come after the 3 year period of time after deployment.
So when we say closing backlog, do we include the O&M part as well?
No. Not as of now.
That is only the equipment part of it, right? So O&M will be a recurring business and it will kick in from year 3.
That is correct.
Got it. That's very clear. Very helpful. Best of luck and thanks for taking the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Sriram Thavkar from JM Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So with this Cisco, you know, they're setting up a facility in India, and simultaneously, you know, we also have a center of excellence for wireless communication. So at any point in time, could we get engaged with Cisco? How should we read it?
So I think these two are unconnected. Cisco manufacturing in India, this doesn't connect us in any way with Cisco. Our wireless lab, a center of excellence, is for our research and development efforts in wireless, and Cisco is more of localizing their manufacturing over here, and these two are not connected, these two issues, right?
Yeah, fair enough. And on Kavach, I guess there's some shift in timelines from the government side. So how long do you see before we, you know, before investors get to see some revenue traction? Is it a delayed opportunity?
Yeah, I think it is. Tender itself is running a bit behind schedule, even though I think the testing and POCs and all are done, but I think the tender itself is running a little behind schedule. But it is still scheduled for a definitive financial year as of now.
Okay. And what about BharatNet Phase 3 then? The tenders are closed. Any timelines? When can the outcomes come out?
Well, you know, it is definitely far more advanced than Kavach, where all the bidding has happened, the tendering and bidding has happened. So, I mean, we expect to see, from what we know, I think that there's a lot of background work happening in the tender evaluation. So, maybe a few, several weeks from now, depending on, you know, how the evaluation goes, and that's the time we'll probably see the results coming out.
Okay, fair enough. So lastly on this Vodafone, we were also engaged in a dialogue with Vodafone. Any success there or potentially any business could come our way?
I don't think we have disclosed any particular customer by name as you see that going on, except for BSNL and maybe Railways. But yeah, I think there are customers, there are tier one operators in the country where the POCs are going on, and these POCs are going to a little extended cycle because as and when it comes, there are additional feature requests or some improvement requests we keep updating and all. So it's a longer POC cycle, and it is going well, and we hope to see business coming at the end of it. It is going to be a little long process, POC.
Perfect. Just one last, if I may. So this international business, if you could like share your perspective, like 3 years out, where do you see international business? Is there like in terms of quantum of order book that you want to build for those markets? Is there some number which is there in your mind?
For international business?
Yeah.
International business in general, or for wireless, or what was your question?
It's just for wireless, or for our RAN equipment and the equipment that we supply.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to quantify it, and we don't give guidance. But we are starting to see a lot of good traction and bidding opportunities and POC opportunities coming up. So as I mentioned, that we are starting to see. Initially our focus was mainly making BSNL successful and doing some of the local trials and POCs and opportunities in India, whether the private operators or Kavach or stuff like that. But now we are starting to engage a lot and outside of India as well, and seeing a lot more opportunities opening up for bidding and for POCs and things like that. So, but it's hard to quantify numbers at this stage.
Perfect. That was helpful, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Shah from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. First of all, congratulations on your numbers. So my first question would be that as of end of quarter two, we had a major order book from BSNL, and right now we are targeting a couple more opportunities like Kavach, BharatNet and everything. So I just wanted to understand that what might be the expected TAM from all the opportunities that we are targeting, and also if we get the contract, then what will be the expected execution time we will be starting the equipment supply and everything, if you can provide a guidance on that.
Yeah, it's I think the TAM is something we don't really disclose before, and also hard to establish across all of them. You know, for the tenders that have come out for BharatNet and all, I think you've seen a lot of public reports on the, you know, tenders and size level, so that information is available in public. For other opportunities, since we really yet do not know the scope of the tender, we have just high-level guidance on the number of sites, the number of stations, and things like that. There's some rough idea, but again, you know, it's hard to speculate, and we don't speculate on those numbers. And there was a second part to your question.
Yeah, so my second part was that hopefully if we get the opportunities, then what will be like the execution timeline?
Yeah, timeline. Yeah, they all depend on when the tenders get awarded and the supply timelines that they set up. And since many of these are very large tenders, I think there will be a process and it will take some time in terms of tenders initiation and bidding, evaluation, and also I think we expect that many of these deals will actually roll over to the next financial year.
Okay, fair enough. So my second question would be regarding the borrowings that we have in our balance sheet. So right now, if I can see that it's around almost 3,000 CR, and now that Tejas has been getting good numbers. So like, and even if in last con call that we had discussed that probably by the end of this financial year, it will start to get eased out. So right now, like, are you planning to reduce the pressure on working capital cycle?
So I think the point we made in the last call also, I think it broadly continues as the project execution picks up or moves towards completion, we'd see the working capital intensity coming down. This obviously is also linked to other projects and as and when they get added to the order book. So till the time you know, you have clarity on some of those projects, hard to comment on how the working capital cycle plays out.
Okay, fair enough. And my last question would be that if I'm correct, that the BharatNet order is around 65K approximate budget, and and the Tejas is specifically in supplying of equipment. So can I conclude that specifically with respect to this particular project, it's around 6,000 CR that will be eligible for bid, right?
So I think you're calculating a 65,000 CR as if officially for this phase, and then maybe you're taking 10% of that. So I think you know, I would say in the ballpark, but you know, could be lower and all. I mean, based on the combination of that, and also depends on, there are many other equipment, right? I mean, all of it is not addressed by our portion of the equipment in the network. There are other equipment also, right? But yeah, ballpark, you can say 8 to 10% of the overall spend comes into it. You know, the rest of it is fiber and other infrastructure. Right?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mehta from GK Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. And congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my question is with regards to private players in the domestic market. So there has been a lot of news flow regarding network upgradation deals being awarded to our global competitors. So just want to understand, what is it that we are missing and we are not able to get a share of that pie from the private players?
Yeah, I think most of them, for their upgradation, have gone with their existing vendors. And as I said, that we were, our focus has been partly up to now on the execution of the BSNL project. At the same time, we started, you know, POC last quarter with some of the other opportunities, operators, and you know, the private industries as well. So I would say, because they are in a hurry to expand. Most of them have gone with the existing vendors, with the existing networks and so on. But at some point of time, later on, after we complete our POC successfully, I think we will certainly expect to get some opportunities into the network. So this will still have a long tail of deployment.
So what is the winning point we have over them? Because if you see, it will be easy for them to integrate the existing equipments with the existing brand only. So what is the winning point that we might slice in a share from private players?
I think it will be that our equipment will be quite competitive it will support most of the bands, or almost all of the bands that are getting deployed in India. So a wide range of bands will also be supported. We have a variety of single band, dual band, triple band radios, quite a wide list of products. And also from an architecture point of view, our RAN, which has the BBU with integrated transport and things like that, because it reduces the overall cost of solution. I mean, those are some of the features that we think will have a differentiator with respect to global competition.
So, just one point. Whether cost-wise we are efficient from our competitors, from global competitors, or not?
Let's put it this way: that it is not an apple-to-apple cost kind of a thing, but the overall solution, the total cost of ownership, when we combine our radios and all the things that I talked about, the multi-band radios and the BBUs with integrated transport and a single BBU doing 4G, 5G. I mean, product is architected such that the total cost of solution would work out better.
Okay, so any timeline for this POC, when it will complete it?
It is going on right now, so I think it will take some time, and maybe another quarter or something like that when the POC is finished.
Got it. And secondly, looking at our current order book, it seems that we will exhaust it within this financial year itself. So till now, after the BSNL order win, we haven't seen any major addition to our order book. So how do we see maintaining our revenue flow going ahead in the absence of any major addition?
Well, as I said, we don't give future revenue guidance, but we give a flavor of the opportunities, the opportunities that we are targeting that are in front of us, which look positive for us, and those are the ones that are going to fill our backlog in our order book, and that's where the future business is going to come from. And it's hard to pinpoint a particular number and see how the business is going to get replicated.
So do we see any major addition in order book in next 6 months or within this financial year?
Again, hard to give timelines, but I'll just go back to the slide where we talk about the key opportunities targeted, which is the expansion of the SMS 4G network, the 5G upgrade in the current band, and the other ones, right? I mean, the railways and the BharatNet phase 3 expansion of the Lithium backbone. All of them are actually fairly large projects, right? I mean, of course, the 1,000 crores kind of a thing, right? So, once they materialize, I think that's the time we'll see our order book really expanding in terms of large numbers. But again, I just want to tell you that, we're not giving any guidance over here, and these are also all opportunities where we are well positioned, but we have not really one in our hand to really, give guidance about.
Got it. And just last question, over tax rate, our tax rate is a little higher if you see. So why is it so?
Can you say higher? How are you looking at that?
So looking at new tax regime, compared it with new tax regime, it seems a little bit higher, 32% around so.
We are not migrated to the new regime. We have losses accumulated over the past, so we're still in the old regime of taxation.
And when do we plan to shift to the new regime?
So that will depend on various parameters, including how and when we absorb our losses.
Okay.
You know,
got it.
Yeah.
Sure. Thanks and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishna Heda from the Investment Forum. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, a little, speak a little louder.
Yes, sir. First of all, congrats on the excellent set of numbers. How does the company plan to accelerate international sales given that international revenue contribution remains small at 3%? Are there any new strategic geographies or contracts in the pipeline?
As I said, we have been investing and continue to invest into our sales channels and partnerships, into the targeted geographies, which is North America, Europe, Middle East, Asia, and Middle East, Africa, you know, Asia, and so on. So our strategy for growth is, investing in more and more sales channels and partnerships, and participating in, as we get more visibility, we are participating in a lot more trade shows for building our brand and, getting more notice and winning whatever customer deals comes along to build our reference in those geographies, right? So this is a little long process which goes on. I mean, there have been significant engagements, significant opportunities that have also come up, which are going through the process right now. But it is a long process of building your brand, building your channels, and getting to success, right? So, and we are going through all of that right now.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict your questions to two per participant. If you have any follow-up questions, you can rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Komal Iyer from NBG CFO Services. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I wanted to know, you have mentioned in your press release that you have made record deliveries of 30,000 plus 4G sites. So will you be able to maintain these kinds of deliveries for the next two quarters or exceed them?
Manufacturing lines have been scaled to those kind of things.
We have increased capacity, so we will have the ability to deliver.
So we will be able to exceed this 30,000 plus number for the next third and fourth quarter.
Well, I can't reveal exact numbers, but let's just say that we have the ability to deliver. It begins.
Okay, that's it. Thank you for my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Khattar from RK Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I have two to three small questions. So, you have shared your order book. Can you also share your pipeline numbers, as in like how many tenders you have bid for, what is your confidence level in winning the tenders and the pipeline closing cycle?
No, unfortunately, we don't do that.
Okay. Then my next question, like historically, the business has been quite up and down in the last 4 years. In one quarter or year, suddenly there are operating losses. And then in one quarter, suddenly you have bumper numbers. So going forward, I know you don't give guidance and I'm not asking for numeric guidance. But going forward, like, will it be more consistent and less volatile? What will be the business trajectory going forward? You can just give a qualitative answer without getting into specific numbers. So as investors, how should we model the business?
Well, if you see, our business still has, is still dominated by large projects. So and when that comes in, large projects are still, in terms of a total business component, they're still dominant. So there will be periods when you see business wins coming, for large projects, and they get executed over multiple quarters, and the run rate business it will become whatever comes from the private and the international kind of a thing. So while you know, big projects dominate, I mean, there is a possibility of seeing you know, a spike in terms of revenues, and you know, that's the fact, right? I mean, that's the nature of our business as of now.
Okay, like is it possible to give any base case scenario, or you will like to avoid that also?
No, not yet. I think the base we should probably see the business is from an overall annual point of view, right? I mean, quarter by quarter, while if our business is dominated by large projects, and there will be spikes, but I think overall year over year, the business is what you probably need to model.
Okay. So my last question, like when you have the capacity, like you, the previous participant asked you about your capacity to deliver 30,000 sites, and when you do have the capacity, you said, so what can stop you? What could go wrong? Like let's say in the next quarter or the next to next quarter, where let's say you don't, I mean, do 30,000 sites, what can go wrong?
In terms of manufacturing, there is no issue. As long as you know, the order keeps coming the way we have anticipated and the way we see it, I don't think we have any issues in terms of being able to manufacture them.
Okay. So, I mean, in terms of delivery or revenue, like what could go wrong? Just trying to understand, like, why will it not translate into the numbers, or what can happen there?
You know, what could go wrong in terms of manufacturing, supply chain? I mean, if we have the order book, we don't, you know, I mean, unless there are unforeseen events in terms of supply chain or any other thing that happens in a, you know, abnormal business cycle, you know, I don't think any other factor really comes in, because we have really worked hard in setting up this kind of a manufacturing capacity, manufacturing line, where we can ship at large numbers with high quality. So as far as whatever we can see, as far as the business is there, I don't really see any issues in terms of not being able to deliver, barring any unforeseen events that I really can't predict right now.
Okay, sir. That's helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Agam from Raj Trading. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Agam, your line is unmuted. Please proceed.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So most of my questions are answered. A quick thought. You might have said, but the rest are not clear. So can you share your thoughts? In your closing order book is already 1,400 crores. So I believe that a lot of projects to take time in. So what, I mean, whatever thoughts you can share, so what can we expect in the next 6 months to 1 year? What orders you will, or whatever you're looking at potential, whatever you can share, just some color on it.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I mean, I talked about some of the key opportunities. I think that should give an idea of the business being targeted and how the order book is going to get filled up, and you know, again, driven around BharatNet Phase 3, expansion of backbone networks, expansion of BSNL 4G, 5G network, you know, upgrades and things around that, right? I mean, most of the large opportunities I have highlighted, so that is, well, that's those are the projects that are going to come into expanding our order book going forward.
So do you see them, do you see all things progressing well going ahead? In the next 6 months, we should hear a few things from here, currently from the area.
These opportunities are all real. And apart from that, I think, as I mentioned at the end of my presentation, all the other drivers which are causing, which are, you know, basically drivers for our business, which are causing expansion of network, growth of data traffic in networks, and the applications of expansion of 4G, 5G networks, and broadband expansion, and data centers, and stuff like that. I mean, all of those factors still see show no signs of slowing down. They are still going and going at a very fast level. So all the drivers for our business, the indicators still look good. So that's why we are bullish about our
results. Thank you so much, and wish you the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika FinCap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a really great set of numbers. My question is for Anand, sir. So you have come from Juniper, who is a leader in enterprise business. So my question pertains to, are we seeing a big opportunity in the enterprise side of the business? Because I couldn't see that on the business opportunity side. So if you can just allude to that part, because the capital requirement for Tata Group companies would also be in a sizable portion for us.
So look, while we don't talk about a roadmap, what I really want to say is that we want to build the portfolios that's going to serve both the service provider and enterprise in both wireline and wireless. You know, that's the vision and mission of Tejas. Again, we want to build the next networking and become OEM company out of India. And we will serve any and every market, that suits us, including the group.
Fair enough, sir. But are we trying to replicate the products which are there in Juniper and Tejas as well?
So look, I can't comment, as I said, I can't comment on the roadmap. When we launch it, you will see it.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratap Maliwal from Mount Intra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, Pratap, you're audible.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So I heard you said that the operations and maintenance part starts after a period of 3 years. So assuming we complete the supply of equipment maybe by FY25 end or Q1 FY26, so when does the contract for O&M come in?
So it will come in from 3 years after they are commissioned. So it is not that it starts right at the end of the last deployment. It's for every different circle or every different deployment, I mean, as long as after their 3 year period, their maintenance cycle will start.
Okay, understood. And sir, you said that the one particular tender was running a bit behind schedule. I just missed that part. Was it the Kavach tender, the BharatNet tender? Which one is running a little bit behind schedule?
Yeah, the Kavach tender is running a bit behind schedule.
Okay, understood. And sir, just one last thing. So I see in the presentation that we've received some additional orders regarding that network densification part. So was this part of the original 7,500 crore order, or is it, something additional in place of that? And do we foresee maybe some additional sites that BSNL would require for which we can get further orders as well?
Yeah, so this is part, as I said, part of the tender scope, but not exactly part of the, the original plan network, right? This is kind of an add-on to the original plan for the network, because as and when the network is deployed and they are seeing more opportunities and, more customers, they are enhancing their plans, as I would say, to upgrade the existing sites from the original plan to add more bands to increase their coverage and capacity. So that's what is happening. So technically, it is part of the same tender that we have won, but the specific plan in terms of the deployment of a particular band in a particular site, I think that is something which is evolving and is causing, it's adding to our business as these additional bands are coming up. But this is nothing to do. This is not connected to the additional sites for the saturation. Sites for the additional coverage.
Okay, so is there any timeline? Because there's one prevailing line of thought that maybe 100K sites might not actually suffice for BSNL to have a nationwide 4G rollout, looking at the kind of networks that maybe some of the other players have. So is there any plan in the pipeline for some additional sites maybe to kind of have a proper network rollout for that?
Yes, I think that's what we mentioned in terms of BSNL, our future opportunity, large opportunity is expansion of BSNL's 4G network. So that is exactly what we're talking about, that beyond the initial 100,000 sites, BSNL is looking at least 20,000 plus sites for expanding their footprint across the country.
Understood, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you for taking my questions and congrats on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
We have time for one last question, please.
Sure. Thank you. The next question is from Pankaj Kumar, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, Pankaj.
Yeah. So I wanted to know, what is the amount of order won in the last quarter? What is the order mix in terms of India government, India private and international? And can you give some color on what kind of orders have been won by the company in the last quarter?
No, are you talking about the new orders won during the quarter?
In Q2, I'm talking about Q2, the orders won.
We don't really split to that level. I think the orders won and the backlog will be categorized as India and international. So, and whatever is there is, and we kind of don't disclose the individual bookings through a quarter. We don't disclose the numbers, but we kind of give a picture of the overall backlog and some color regarding domestic and international.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So
look, as part of closing, again, I want to thank the team. The team has executed really well. We've delivered a lot on our orders, and we will continue to stay focused and execute as we deliver and also as we build our portfolio, and in the process, hopefully gain more customers, more markets, and build a healthy business.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Have a good night.
Yeah.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.